Real Estate Radio, Chaz Cook of the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate, joined this week by two special guests. We've got a little bit of a changing of the guard going on here on this Saturday after St. Paddy's Day. Welcoming back to the show, we have Greg McCarthy. This is your third time joining us?
Third time. Thanks for having me back. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. And how was your St. Paddy's Day?
Well, McCarthy family, it's always a blast, always a good time.
And you said you have a little something going on this afternoon, right? A little family party?
Yeah, big old party.
Guinness, corned beef, the whole shebang?
Yeah, legit.
All right, and what do you bring to the party?
Absolutely nothing. I bring the good times.
You bring the good times. Yeah, all right. So if you guys ever want to have a party, reach out to Greg at oneteamct.com, and he will bring the good time, whether it be buying, selling, or investing in real estate. And for the first time on the show, we have Tina Wozni joining us, who is a powerhouse of an agent with four kids, a military spouse, and she is just crushing it out in New London County. Tina, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
And how was your St. Paddy's Day? Did you have some fun with the kiddos?
We did. We made green pancakes.
Okay.
We tried to catch leprechauns. We did not succeed. They left treats on the counter, though.
Okay.
And then corned beef and cabbage.
Did you leave some, like, adult treats, too? Maybe some, like, little Baileys or something?
No, we didn't. No. Just the kids.
That's what Martin McKinney does over there at Service Station Equipment, our sponsor of here of Real Estate Radio. He leaves the little Baileys, nips out, maybe some little whiskey, and he seems to always catch himself a leprechaun, and sometimes we call that leprechaun Dougie Braun, the tank man, your service station tank, 1-800-801-TANK, your residential tank specialist for any oil tank needs that you have. If you have an underground tank or if you've got one that's just looking a little spotty, make sure you reach out to the boys and girls at Service Station Equipment. Again, that is 1-800-801-TANK. And I bet you Martin and all the boys and girls at Service Station Equipment are recovering from their St. Paddy's Day. And so what do you guys think? We got going on this week. Why Realtor.com says this is the best week in 2023 to sell. So let's kind of set that up here. What are you guys seeing in the market right now? We saw rates go really up and then we saw them come back down. Now they've gone back up. They've almost somewhat plateaued as we're getting ready to head into another week where the Fed will meet. But, you know, what are you guys seeing out there? Boots on the ground.
Yeah, well, obviously the big news is definitely those rates, Chaz, but the one thing that has stayed consistent is there's still no inventory out there. It's difficult for buyers right now.
Still seeing a lot of competition out there?
Absolutely. Yep. If the home's priced right, you're going to have a dozen offers every single time.
And Tina, so you live out in the Groton area, right? So you work with a lot of military families. And how are you having the conversations with those families that may be PCSing and need to sell quickly, or the families that are coming in and are looking for a place to buy in this challenging market? What does that look like?
Yeah, I think the conversation is pretty much the same all across the board because it's so competitive. But I let them know, even my clients that are coming out, like summertime, we should start looking now because it is so competitive. Multiple offers on everything right now, just to be prepared, you know, that it's not as easy as it once was. So be ready for what's to come.
And have you had any challenges? Obviously, working with a lot of military families are taking advantage of the VA loan. Mm-hmm. Have you had many obstacles with that in getting your offer accepted in a multiple offer situation?
Thankfully, I have not, but I do know, you know, because it is VA, it's a little bit more stringent as far as appraisals go, that you just got to be ready for that. But I do know that some buyers are willing to take on those repairs if needed. So that's, you know, that's another way to win if you have to.
I've also seen that myself where it's like, hey, anything that the VA comes back with and hits on, give us the opportunity. We'll come in, we'll take care of it, you know, through our own means so that you don't have to add that stress into selling a home, moving everything out and everything else that goes into the process. So that is definitely some solid advice there to give yourself a leg up. Because if you go to that listing agent, you say, listen, my clients are capable and they're handy. So anything that comes up, whether it be a hand railing or some peeling paint, we'll take care of it. Put your seller at ease. He's not going to have to run around taking care of some of those more finite details that the VA likes to hit us on.
Yep.
And Greg, you're up in the East Hartford area. Actually, I don't know if you knew this, but Hartford, Connecticut was named one of the top 10 cities to move to in 2023.
I did. I heard that. You know, there's a lot of good jobs up there, a lot of big companies, and housing is it's affordable. You know, you can still find a house for under $300,000 that you can actually live in. So it's
So you're still seeing some deals out there for under 300,000 in the Hartford County area. Is that like East Hartford, Hartford, or is that kind of all over Glastonbury, West Hartford? Is it kind of more centralized?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely particular neighborhoods, but East Hartford is pretty consistent across the board. You've got a lot of nice neighborhoods in there. Even once you get over to your near U-Hart, that area, the Blue Hills neighborhood has really been popping off lately. That's a busy neighborhood. But yeah, I mean, tons of great places to live. You're 15 minutes from everything you could ever need. I love the Hartford area. Would never move.
All right. Have you been at any Yard Goats games? You're going to check some out this summer?
Yeah. Yeah. Tickets went on sale, I think, a couple of weeks ago. So I'll be snagging some for sure.
All right. And I like the point that you made before that we still are at an inventory deficit, an extreme one. So I would actually kind of push back against this article from Realtor.com. I mean, historically, they always say there is a best week of the year to list your home. But you could argue that right now we're flat year over year with only 2 months of supply, right? So why wait another month to get your home on the market? If you're planning on doing it in a month from now, why not go ahead and do now, right? So they have some points here, but they do go on to say that sellers who list their home during this week, combination of market conditions could boost their sale price by $48,000 if they prepare for the sale with calculated repairs, valuable updates, and effective marketing tactics. Again, I could say right now, if you were prepared, you could do that right now, because I just actually had an offer. We went $25,000 over, and we weren't even in the top three.
Yeah, I've been hearing stories like that all over the place, Chaz.
Yeah. So I know I gave you guys this article a little bit earlier before the show to kind of check out, but do you remember what they say the best week of the year is?
Geez, what was it? It was the 10th to the 16th?
I'm going to say the 16th to the 22nd.
16th through the 22nd, according to Realtor.com, the window for the best time to sell your home in 2023, April 16th through 22nd. But think about it this way. If this is the message that everyone's receiving and everyone's going to plan to go on at that time, you're going to see an influx of inventory. But if you came on right now or even next week, you would have 3 weeks to get your home sold, marketed, under contract, and be out in front of all that competition, right? It's almost like when you're like trying to do your Black Friday shopping and everybody's lining up at the door. Well, just wait 24 hours because the sales might not be quite as good, but you're not going to have as much competition and you'll be able to take your time and not be quite so overwhelmed with the process. We're going to see a little bit more about what Realtor.com has to say about why April 16th through the 22nd is the best time to sell. And we're also going to take a look at some inventory stats on homes for sale, prices, median sales price, and months of inventory when we come back here on Real Estate Radio 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk. Chaz Cook of the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate, joined this week by Greg McCarthy and Tina Wozni, and we are breaking down this Realtor.com article on why they think April 16th through the 22nd is the best time to sell in 2023. And in our opinion, what we're seeing here in the local Connecticut market is that don't wait. No. Go now. Because if you wait another month, we don't know what rates are going to be like. We don't know what competition is going to be like. And we don't know how many people are also going to read this trend and say, okay, I'm going to plan to go on that week, which is going to create more inventory for a short period of time. We know it's not going to last because we have a long uphill battle to go. But it did go on to say that there's a potentially $48,000 more in pricing if you list during that week. They also said mortgage rates are hovering around 6.5-7%. Sellers can still expect high buyer demand for well-priced homes. Historically, homes listed during this week were priced 2.1% higher than the average week and 12.1% higher than at the start of the year. Okay, so that makes sense. We know January and February are typically our slowest months due to the seasonality of being in New England. So kind of in alignment with that. If 2023 follows that trend, the national median sales price could rise $8,400 higher than the average week and $48,000 more than the start of the year. That's a big jump right there.
That's a lot of money.
I mean, if you take a, let's say you have a $300,000 budget, and next thing you know, they're saying the house is going to go up to $308,400. Mm-hmm. You know, you could be talking another $100 a month, which could price you out. And if rates go up back up 7.25%, now you're talking $2,250 a month. And now you're, instead of looking at $300,000 homes, you're going to be looking at $250,000, $260,000. And then, you know, what does that scope of work look like? Are those move-in ready? You know, will they pass a VA standard, for example? So those are some really interesting numbers to pay attention to going along with the strong buyer demand. Historically, homes listed during this week had 16.4% more views than the average week. But in 2022, listings had 32.5% more views than average since buyer demand plummeted later in that year. Right. We know last year was the tale of two markets. We first 6 months of the year, everything was great. We were, you know, up to 4%, maybe hit 5% in the first half of the year. And then everything came crashing down the second half. So, all right, let's go here. So, Greg, do you have any listings coming up here? Anything in the future?
I do. I've actually got a listing in Coventry. We're going to be going live next weekend.
Let's say your seller comes to you and says, hey, I just saw this great Realtor.com article and they think I should wait until April 16th to 22nd. How does that conversation now look for you?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, and I have said to them, you know, let's get on here early. Those, if we catch anybody early, certainly that's good. But worst case scenario is we're already on the market during that week. The key is to not be after it. There's no problem being early. You don't want to be late.
I like that. The early bird catches the worm.
That's right.
And Tina, how about you? Are you having any conversations with your sellers right now who are thinking about waiting till the spring or for things to pick up or the nicer weather?
Yeah. So I'm telling them basically now is the time. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. We've seemed to have kicked off an early spring market here is what I would call it.
Absolutely.
Take advantage of it while inventory is still low.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, with the mild winter we've had, I mean, even with the blizzard, snow, whatever. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I got rain. I didn't even get any snow. I was pretty disappointed. But then it was 50 degrees the next day. So it's like, you know, I think we can take a bit of a snow rainstorm if it's going to turn around and be in the high 40s, low 50s the next day. So they also go on to say that there's typically less competition for other sellers. Well, we know that we can kind of take that one with a grain of salt, because anything decent that comes on the market, anything that's priced right, that has professional photography and is well marketed, is going to be competitive. But they would see a 9.3% fewer sellers with active listings during this week compared to the average week. Now, this would be kind of interesting to go back and take a look at, is when does spring break happen? When are your kids on spring break, Tina?
Spring break is April.
Is it right around the 16th to 22nd?
No, I lied. I think that's actually Easter break. They get so many breaks now.
Okay.
I think it may be in May. I know we go on Easter break in the middle of April.
Yep. So I'd be curious, and obviously we'd have to reach out to somebody at realtor.com, but we can take a little bit closer look at the local Connecticut stats, is if that week historically for most schools is some type of break. Because as a seller, you're like, oh, okay, I can list my house on a Sunday or a Monday, go away for the week, let my agent, you know, show it as many times as possible without having to inconvenience myself, and then hopefully come home to an offer. So that's an interesting way to think about that. I wonder how they kind of come to that specific week, and if it has anything to do when people are traveling for spring break, right? Because we're talking about the spring market. You come out of winter and the first thing you want to do is go somewhere warm.
Yep.
So, you know, as a seller, I would highly think about that if I was going to be going away for a week or not. You know, I don't typically go away for spring break, though, because everybody else goes. I'm one of those people that likes to go when nobody else goes. Mm-hmm. And less competition. But here are some best tips for sellers preparing to list their homes. According to that recent survey, it took most sellers, 80% of them, 2 weeks to 6 months to prepare their homes for sale. The sweet spot, 32%, was between 1 and 3 months. For most sellers, 56% of them, preparing their homes for listing took longer than expected, while 23% said it took less. and 22% said it took roughly as long as they expected. So on that note, right, so we're talking about, we have a lot of pent-up buyer demand, we have low inventory, we're seeing competition. Are we still suggesting our sellers go through an arduous process of doing a ton of updates, or is it more deep clean, paint, power wash?
Yeah, I would say definitely, in my opinion, save the money on the big renovations. Mm-hmm. Okay, put that into your next home if you want to do that. Just make sure it's clean. Make sure it's decluttered, depersonalized. If you have any neon colors on the walls, maybe take those off.
Right. Okay. And how about you, Tina?
I agree with Greg. Yeah. That's, you know, I'm doing a walkthrough. You never know what you're going to walk into. And then it's pretty much a case by case.
Right. So this is interesting because I'm 100% in agreement with you guys. Clean, declutter, you know, if you need to have it staged, whatever that takes. But yeah, spare yourself. Don't redo the kitchen. Don't redo the bathroom. Don't rip the carpets out, because whatever you replace it with, historically, in the last 3 years, we've seen people just want to come in and do it themselves.
Yep. But
yeah, 35% of sellers did make some repairs and or updates. So again, reasonable updates, but nothing extraneous, right? Oh, there's a hole in the wall. Okay. We should probably take care of that.
Yeah.
But 33% of them cleaned and decluttered the home. And this one I really like. 31% of them found an agent to help them out, right? Because we talk about that all the time. We work with a lot of stagers. We work with a lot of organizers. Let the agent, find yourself a local agent that has local connections that can say, hey, I have two or three people that can come in here. And you don't even really have to do anything except kind of give direction and let them work their magic, right? How has that experience gone for you? Having, let's say you walk into a house and the house is kind of crazy and there's boxes and things everywhere. And you're like, all right, we need to get like 40% of this out. Have you brought in somebody to help them do that? Or have you been that person?
No. Well, I've done both.
Okay.
But I prefer, if it's within the budget, have someone come in and just take over. Mm-hmm. It's easier. Let your client stand back. Take over, and then everything's packed up. You can leave it in the garage. You can leave it, you know, wherever you have storage, and it shows better too.
Absolutely. Greg?
Yeah, you know, I don't have as much experience as you and Tina when it comes to this side of things, with the listing side of things. But the one thing I would say is it's a team sport, right? Like, selling your home is a team sport. You want to make sure you're working with somebody that has people in the industry. They can get you connected with the right people to get the home.
Absolutely. Local handyman, local organizer, local stager, all of those things. Then they threw out a couple things that, you know, your agent should be doing for you, which is this. I have to honestly, it kind of makes me smile a little bit. Had listing photos taken, 34%, created marketing material such as flyers, 27%, created a 3D virtual home tour, 20%, staged the home, 11%. Every agent should be doing this.
Yeah.
And what made me chuckle about it is this is just part of what we offer. There is no extra here. This is just, when you work with a one team agent, this is what happens, right? You don't have to ask for it. It's not even, and you know, it is our expectation that this is the service we're going to provide for our clients, right? You shouldn't have to be, hey, can you help me do this? Or are you going to have professional photos taken?
Yeah.
It's like, no, we're going to do professional photography, videography. We're going to do drones. We're going to do floor plans. We're going to create flyers, right? If we need to help you stage the home, you know, we have people that work with us so that we can, you know, do that for our clients. I've actually had to one time cover that for a client just because of the situation they were in. They needed to buy and sell. And it was like, all right, well, what's the most effective way we can do this? You know, a couple hundred dollars to introduce them to a stager and create that relationship and add value to what we do and to what we offer. At the end of the day, that's really nothing. So, and then that kind of broke down here. Realtor.com survey respondents. Oh, this, okay. So we're interviewing some sellers here, and they were worried about larger potential issues. And this is what they say: minor cosmetic updates, light fixtures, faucets, drawers, pulls. We talked about that. 16%, carpet flooring replacement or furnishings, 14%. I think that's
a lot.
That's a lot for this market.
Yeah.
You know, how many people have you seen take an old ratty carpet, spend $2,000 on getting it replaced, and then the person comes in and says, I want hardwood.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Don't do it.
Your color palette, your style is not necessarily going to be the next owner's, right? Your better opportunity is to do something neutral that just kind of shows them what an open canvas would look like, mm-hmm. right? Yes. Go with the grays, go with the eggshells, go very, very basic with that. Even just like a soft white color, and let them come in and visualize how they want it to look. This is a big one that we don't talk about enough. I don't think so. Landscaping. right? Little things like adding mulch, a raised bed garden, vegetation, etc. You can go to any garden store right now and spend $100 and get some like spring plants and a couple bags of mulch, and you could take your, you know, yard from looking like it's coming out of winter into like it's been in spring for the last couple of months. And that pop and that curb appeal, one, for the photos, is going to draw people to it. Second, when they pull into your driveway, they're going to be like, wow, this place does look like the photos, which is something, again, we've seen too many times not happen. Touch-up paint, full painting of the exterior. Again, go vinyl siding, right? Yeah. Vinyl is final.
Well, I think the only time that you really even need to do this is maybe chipping paint if it's not too excessive.
Or like cedar shake, you might want to touch that up. But again, what color do you go?
Right.
Do you go red? Do you go blue? Do you go gray? How do you, you know, it's almost better to, let's say you spent $10,000 to have your house painted. It's not going to increase your property value by $10,000. Right. You might get two, right? So just price it accordingly, work with a professional agent to kind of figure that out. And then again, let the next person come in and do it. Replacing major appliances, kitchen or laundry. I could go back and kitchen, I would say no. Laundry, I could go back and forth with. Nobody wants a 1985 dryer. Replacing the roof. That is a big one that could add a lot of value and save you a lot of headaches during the inspection process. So replacing major systems, HVAC, hot water, heater, heating. Obviously, that's kind of a no-brainer. You have to have running water and you have to have heat and cooling. Caulking and replacing grout. So that's what Realtor.com says a seller should be considering before they go on the market this spring. When we come back, we're going to break down what buyers should be considering and what they are looking at in terms of numbers and inventory on Real Estate Radio 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk. Real Estate Radio, Chaz Cook, Greg McCarthy, and Tina Wozni of the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate, your number one team wire to wire in 2022 for units closed. And we are out of the gates here in 2023. As Tina mentioned before, we had a bit of an early spring market with such a mild winter. And we are going to show you just how hard the hardest working team is working. Sorry. When we get to this week's One Team Weekly Rewind, brought to you by Service Station Equipment, your residential tank specialist. And look at that. They even changed like the background here on their website to green in honor of St. Patty's Day. I see a little shamrock up in the corner there. So you know that Martin McKinney and the boys and girls at Service Station Equipment are in the spirit. They are probably feeling good after celebrating yesterday, but they are still available to help you with all of your residential tank needs. And that is 1-800-801-TANK. Or we are getting close to needing some of that Irish Springs pool water. So if you're thinking about opening up your pool and you need a little bit of a top off, you can also reach out to their Irish Springs pool water, and that is 860-848-4100. Now on to the One Team Weekly Rewind. We had a stellar week. We had six new listings, talking about those sellers getting on the market now and not waiting until April, 10 under contract, and 12 closings in the last 7 days. Our first new listing was brought to the market by everybody's favorite realtor, Lee Abar and Ann Carpenter. That is 67 Corey Lane in East Lyme, Connecticut. It hit the market for $309,900. This raised ranch offers 3 bedrooms, 1.5 baths, just over 1,500 square feet. It is a great property. You have a 1-car under house garage. And you've also got all new appliances in the kitchen that are 2 years old. So we were talking about how important that can be when you're getting ready to sell, right? If you just did it, like, I would say less than 10 years ago, definitely hold off on it. And it also finished it off with a 3-season sunroom off the main floor. Primary bedroom provides a great area for family, exercise room, etc. An additional living space, the finished lower level with den and family room, and newer flooring. So if you're interested in living in the East Lyme area and you're looking right around the $310,000 mark, you can reach out to Lee at OneTeamCT.com. Next up, we had 31 West Main Street, unit number C2, also in East Lyme, Connecticut. I'm not going to go too far into this one because it is under contract, but this was a great townhouse listed at 255, two bedrooms, 1.5 baths, just over 1,800 square feet. That was brought to the market by Mary Pula, so congrats to Mary on getting that one listed and under contract. And again, that was 31 West Main Street, number C2. Next up, we've also got another Mary Pula listing here. We've got a commercial property, 294 Boston Post Road in Waterford, Connecticut. And Tina, we were just talking about this one. You're almost right on the East Lyme line there, right? The East Lyme Waterford line, that crossroad section.
Good location.
Great location. Lots of traffic driving by there, so a nice big sign would definitely be welcoming. This one hit for $369,900, just over 1,800 square feet. So you can get in there, create some apartments if you wanted to. You can create some office spaces and really capitalize on that convenient location close to 395 and East Lyme and its surrounding towns. So if you are interested in checking out that commercial property, you can reach out to mary.pula@ravis.com. Next up, we've got an awesome plot of land, 61-4 Murphy Road in Hebron, Connecticut. This hit the market for $115,000, and it's 2 acres. Country calling you to build a home, a peaceful area, yet minutes to major amenities. Predominantly level lot with gentle slope, bordering a babbling brook. I love that. I can never say it without getting tongue-tied. Bordering a babbling brook. But this is also a Mary Pula listing. So this is an approved building lot. You're surrounded by farmland and Blackledge Country Club. No size or style restrictions imposed by the seller, subject only to zoning requirements. So if you're looking to build a home in the Hebron area, you can reach out to mary.pula@ravis.com. And our final new listing is 106 Mallets Lane in New Milford, Connecticut. This hit the market for $325,000, which is about $25,000 under the median sale price for the state of Connecticut, probably even a little bit more. It is 3 bedrooms, 1 bath, just under 1,300 square feet. This was brought to the market by Victoria Tavares, and it is a beautifully remodeled 3-bedroom, 1-bathroom ranch-style home that boasts modern features and comfortable living and located in a desirable neighborhood. So if you are interested in the New Milford area or a ranch-style home, you can reach out to victoria@oneteamct.com. All right, 10 under contracts here. Any of these yours?
Not mine.
No, quiet week for Greg.
Is this last week?
Last 7 days.
I don't think so.
All right. We had under contracts in Hartford, Stamford, Guilford, Monroe, Clinton, East Haven, Bethlehem, Preston, Madison, and Middletown. I don't even know where Bethlehem is. You guys know where Bethlehem is?
I've heard of it. I haven't been there.
Down in the Naugatuck Valley.
Naugatuck Valley. All right. Interesting. Closings. We had 12 of those bad boys. So congratulations to all of our buyers, sellers, and investors. We had closings in Milford, Ledyard, Montville, Cromwell, Killingworth, Plymouth, Norwich, Southington, Southbury, Oakdale, New London, and East Lyme. All right. So that is going to do it for this week's One Team Weekly Rewind. Again, we had 6 new listings, 10 under contracts, and 12 closings. If you would like to see everything that we have going on, you can head over to the oneteamct.com blog, or you can search all of our available inventory and check out all of our agents and see who you would like to contact to help you with your buying, selling, or investing needs. All right, guys. So before we went to break there, we were really focused on sellers and what they should be thinking about, when maybe is the best time to, you know, put their house on the market. And I think we're pretty much in agreement that right now is the best time. You know, you might see some advantages if you wait to that April 16th to 22nd, but historically you're going to be in the heart of the spring market at that point, and you're most likely going to have some competition. So now I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about buyers and what should buyers expect in the current Connecticut housing market. So right now, you guys, I think we're all working with a lot of buyers for obvious reasons, right?
Yep.
A lot of sellers are kind of on the fence because they refinance at such a low interest rate and they're just not enticed to sell quite yet, even though, you know, home prices are still on their way up and inventory is still on its way down. So for a lot of your buyers, are you working with mainly first-time home buyers, investors? Kind of what's the scope of that?
Yeah, I've got a lot of first-time home buyers, people jumping in, so they aren't necessarily looking at it like, oh, I could have gotten a 3% interest rate a year ago, a year and a half ago. It's more of like, this, it is what it is. We're coming to the realization that this is kind of where interest rates are right now, so this is where I'm buying.
Right.
And do you feel that your buyers last year kind of took a pause, right, at the towards the end of the year because they were waiting for those rates to just drop, and then it didn't happen, and now we have this big pool?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I remember it was last August, like mid-July into August, right around the heart of summer, and all of a sudden, it was like crickets.
Yeah.
And that's when we saw those rates get really high, and then people were, you know, had a little bit of uncertainty. And that was like the first time that we actually saw some true inventory increases that kind of stayed there. And then mid-October hit, and the rates kind of ticked back down. And November, December, we caught some steam back, some momentum back. And then January 1st hit, and, you know, we've just been out of the gates running full steam ahead. So it's definitely been a interesting roller coaster, I guess I would call it, right? We saw the first 6 months of 2022 be great. We saw the kind of middle 3 months, I would say, of last year be interesting. It was kind of like a stalemate. The last 3 months, we started to move back in. And then, that set us up for 2023, where we just came out firing. And we continue to see the competition, even though those rates have been going anywhere from 5.99 to 7.2 and everywhere in between. So, you know, we're really hoping to kind of get some balance back into this. And I think talking about these numbers here, you're going to see just how much we can use some more homes for sale in the state of Connecticut. So this is a Redfin article specific to the Connecticut housing market. So in February, so year over year for last month, obviously we don't have enough of the data for March yet because we're only about halfway through, but home prices in Connecticut were up 5.1% year over year in February. At the same time, this is the big one right here, at the same time, the number of homes sold fell 26.9%, and the number of homes for sale fell 17.8%, call it 18%. So to me, that really paints an interesting picture, right? Because a 5.1% increase, you know, we like to be around 3.5. That's a kind of comfortable year over year. Obviously, the last few years, we were seeing numbers in the 10s, 15s, 20% in terms of appreciation. So to see rates go up, but home prices go up 5.1%, obviously, we know inventory is down. So the number of homes sold going down 27%, that's not as shocking. But then you turn back around and you're like, the number of homes for sale was down 18%, right? So that is just, you know, kind of blows my mind to see that we just cannot get caught up in any way. And this article, we're going to go much deeper into. We're going to talk about the number of homes sold, median days on market, and median sales price all throughout the state of Connecticut, as well as the top 10 metro areas in Connecticut with the fastest growing sales price when we come back on Real Estate Radio 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk.
The Connecticut Sun and
Cook, Greg McCarthy, and Tina Wozni of the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate, your number one team wire to wire in 2022 for transactions. And in 2023, we are out of the gates and running with a full head of steam. We just broke down for you guys the One Team weekly rewind, 6 new listings, 10 under contract, 12 closings. The hardest working team in real estate does not stop, and either does the hardest working mortgage lender in real estate, longtime friend of the show, owner and proprietor of New England Home Mortgage, Brian Fay, is here with us for this final segment. Good afternoon, sir.
What's going on, guys? As always, thanks for having me on. I love the show. Love it.
Absolutely. So, Fay, we've been talking a lot about best times to sell, how rates affect that, competition that we're seeing out there, all of the above. But what are you seeing in your world? Because, I mean, these last 2 weeks even have been, you know, we've seen 7.2 and 6.1 all the way and everywhere in between. So what's the vibe out there in the mortgage world?
You know, it's all over the place, I'll tell you that. And once the when the bank Silicon Valley closed, there was a little panic in the mortgage industry. Like, is it, we're going back to 2008, 2009 with a big crash. So the market, you know, rates went up and then they come back down. They've been all over the place. Again, I always tell people I'm a broker. I always say brokers are better. So my rates have been in the mid to low sixes. I never hit seven. So I know some lenders out there are seven. Those are usually banks. But when you're dealing with brokers, so I've been between 6.5 and 6.25 all week, but it's literally gone from 6.25 to 6.5 to 6.25, you know, and we close out the week on Thursday and Friday at 6.5.
So at 6.5. Okay.
Yeah. And again, some of my banks panicked. So some of my, so I'm a broker, I deal with different banks, different lenders, and some of them, you know, in the low sevens, and other banks take this as an opportunity that they think they're secure. They think they're good and they want the business. So that's why with me, you know, I do have banks that are in the low sevens, but also banks in the low to mid sixes. So my job is to take my clients, file and shop it around to different banks and get the best rate out there. But, it was a little scary when Silicon went under on Friday and then you didn't know what was going to happen on the weekend. And then Monday came out and the rates were up. And so, you know, we'll see what happens in this next week, but we've been pretty steady in the mid sixes, I would say. And again, some of my banks are 7.25. I have one of my banks at like 7.77. Basically, they're saying we're going to hold off and see what's happening in the market before we come back down. So some banks, they increase the rates to lower the volume, and other banks lower the rates to increase the volume. So it all matters on what banks we shop to.
So let's talk about that a little bit. What's like one of the biggest factors that determines like a bank wanting to stay at like a 7.3? Is it the size of them? Is it their, you know, amount of resources? Let's like use an example of like a Rocket Mortgage, right? I'm assuming this is going to be my educated guess that they're one of your lower interest rates right now.
You would assume incorrectly.
Oh, all right.
Probably in the mid. So the bigger banks like Rocket and UWM, they almost don't need, they get so much volume anyway because they spend so much money in advertising and everyone knows who they are, that they're usually in the middle, you know. But everyone, like, you know, I'm a broker. Rocket gets so much business from the public. So many times a client, oh, I got pre-approved through Rocket, I got pre-approved this, and then I'll come in with a lower rate. So I would say Rocket, those bigger banks are more in the middle. It's the smaller banks that are, you know, had that board meeting over the weekend or the president's like, hey, let's get some volume this week and let's, you know, go a little lower on the rates. So it all matters on their business plan and what they're looking to do, how the rates are structured. But I think the bigger banks are more in the mid range. And then it's really up to, you know, the president of the banks or what they're looking to do.
So that's interesting, obviously, because you go to like a local bank, like a Chase or a Liberty or something like that, and oftentimes their rates are a little bit on the higher side because that's all they have within their capacity. And now you're saying the big boys are also keeping their rates on the higher side.
Well, so I would say the middle size, you know, and usually credit unions are pretty good, but there's a couple credit unions out there that are a little scared right now. Their rates are up. So, because they don't want the volume, but again, the big ones like Rocket, they're more in the middle. I put them right in the mid range. Definitely not the lowest.
Okay.
Again, they also spend so much money on advertising, marketing, and you know, they have a huge budget,
right?
Where they can't come in on the lower side, but you know.
And did you notice like a difference day to day this week as we went through it? And you rates at 6.5, rates at 6.25. Like one day the phone's ringing off the hook. The next day you're kind of like looking
it's a little different. Like when the rates are down to 6.25, it's not like I'm all of a sudden, because there's no inventory out there. So it doesn't matter what the rates are. So, you know, I talk to people all the time. They got pre-approved. What's the rate? Okay, we're at 6.25. Like, that's great. I talked to them an hour later. We didn't get the house. So then it just, like, yeah. I always tell people the rate doesn't matter until you're under contract. That's really when it matters. Before that, right, it's great. So then I talked to him on one day, it was 6.25, then I went to 6.5. Guess what? They still didn't get the next house. So, you know, it's what I'm looking for is the realtors, aka you guys, to get some listings out there so all my buyers can buy houses. So that's the problem I'm having on my end.
That's definitely what we're working on. We were talking about how Realtor.com thinks they do it based off of their research. The best week to list your home is April 16th through 22nd. And in our opinion, we said, no, now. Now is the best time. Before the end of March, if you are ready, you know, even if it takes like a lot of work for a couple of days, get it cleaned up, get it organized, slap some paint on it, and get it on the market.
Listen, I'm not a realtor. I did stay at a Holiday Inn last night, but I'm not a realtor. But my opinion would be, like, if I want to sell my house, I want to sell my house when there's no inventory on the market. Yeah. Right. I want to be one of one, and I want to have 40 people coming to my open house. Like, why try to sell when I'm one of 40? Like, right. I just never understood that. But, you know, now, again, I'm sure you guys talked about the inventory. There is none. So I would put on the market.
Greg made a really good point. Even if you came on now, let's say you came on now and you wanted to kind of test the water, so to speak, and you came on a little bit higher than you probably should have. Okay. At least you're already on, you're established. So when that week hits, maybe that's the conversation with the seller. Okay. We know you could potentially get 425 for your house, but if we price it at 400, we'll probably be able to get closer to that. But here's what we're looking at. Here's what the data tells us, that historically this is the best week to sell. So if you wanted to come on at 425 now, but knowing coming up, leading up to that week, like the Sunday before, we're going to have that conversation where we're going to go down to 399, 400.
Yeah.
One, it's going to repopulate your house in front of in everybody's search because you just had a price improvement. Yeah. Two, now everyone's looking at it. So you can kind of play around with that and position yourself as long as you understand the variables to it, right?
I agree. And it's just supply and demand, right? Guys, if there's no supply and there's all the buy, I mean, I have so many pre-approvals out there, and there's just no inventory. So right. Naturally, you know, three or four, you know, the more people that want to buy your house, the higher you can get for it. And I kind of agree, like, don't set it at the, like, get into a bidding war and get that price up. So,
right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just to put it in perspective, you know, in February of this year, there was 2,126 homes sold. That's all home types across the state of Connecticut, which is down 27%. Year over year. So in February of last year, there was 2,909 homes sold. So,
and if I told you last year at this time there'd be less inventory a year from now, you guys would have said I was crazy. Like, who thought we'd have less inventory this year than we had last year? It's just crazy.
Well, especially not after the second half of last year. That's what we were just talking about in the last segment was, you know, July and August, it was kind of cricket. September, October, maybe you were doing a little something. But, you know, we thought we were going to start to get built up on inventory and come into this year with maybe 4 months of supply instead of being flat year over year at two.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. But again, that's where I'm counting on you wonderful realtors out there to get more listings.
Well, so here's something interesting. We're going to put you on the hot spot here, Faye. We're going to talk about the top 10 metros in Connecticut with the fastest growing sales price. All right. We're going to see how many of these surprise you and how many of them you could kind of, based off of your experience and clients that you're working with. So these are homes, or these are towns in the state of Connecticut that are seeing the fastest appreciation in their home values. Again, this is across all property types.
Can I guess? Can I just throw a guess out there?
All right. You want to go from 10 to 1? We'll go from, 10 to 1.
I'm just assuming West Hartford has to be on that thing, right?
You're incorrect. So on the bottom of the list with the lowest appreciation in the state of Connecticut is West Haven, Connecticut at 3.7%.
Okay.
Number 9, this one, I'm surprised that you know, I've been working with a lot of military buyers myself also, and a lot of them have been gravitating towards this city. And I think part of the reason, no, not Groton, part of the reason is because you pay higher taxes, but you have public utilities, i.e. you don't have to go with Eversource. Yep. And that is Norwich, also at 3.7%. Yeah.
Norwich, yep.
Number 8, Greg's Hood, East Hartford, Connecticut.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are seeing 7.3% appreciation. Number 7, again, shocking to me, just wouldn't put it on my list, Waterbury, Connecticut, seeing 8.8% appreciation. You get a lot of calls for Waterbury?
I do. And listen, the two towns I don't, not nothing personal, but the two towns I don't like doing pre-approvals for is Waterbury and Hamden. And the reason is taxes. The taxes. Is just ridiculous. Yeah. There's a house in Water, I think in Hamden, I just did a pre-approval for, I think it was $380, and the taxes were $18,000.
$18,000.
Holy cow.
I think that's, and I was just like, guys. And then they're like, Brian, what's my payment? I'm like, I don't know, $5,000. And what are my closing costs? And, you know, but those are the two towns.
Luckily, Hamden is not on here for obvious reasons. But at number 6, we've got Meriden, Connecticut at 11.1%. So now we're starting to see some double digit, you know, appreciation here. Number 5, Bristol, Connecticut at 13.5%. Number 4, Danbury, Connecticut, 25.8%, almost 26% appreciation in Danbury right now.
Yeah.
I wonder if you're still seeing a lot of, I don't do much business out in Danbury, but I wonder if you're seeing a lot of people still from New York wanting to kind of transition in and be close to the city. Number 3, Stamford, Connecticut at 27.2%. Number 2, Naugatuck, Connecticut at 28.5% appreciation. And the number 1 town, city in Connecticut with the fastest growing sales price appreciation. Greg, you were not surprised by this one. I was surprised by this one. Weathersfield, Connecticut at 31.8%. Can you imagine having bought, let's say you bought in 2020, you thought you overpaid for the house, but you locked in like a 3% interest rate, and to know that 3 years later, you have seen 30% appreciation.
Now, could part of the reason be that there's not many houses selling? So if you only sold 30 houses in the last year, maybe, you know what I mean? Could that affect it? Because that surprised me.
It says that every house that's selling is selling for above asking price, right? They're just driving up the price range.
Yeah, I mean, there's just nothing on the market.
Right.
There's nothing on the market in Weathersfield. So if you want to be in Weathersfield, if you have a family, a lot of people like the school system in Weathersfield, if that's where you want to be, you only have a certain amount of choices.
Yeah. Wow. So we're going to continue to monitor this closely. Obviously, we're going to pay attention to these top 10 metros and, you know, kind of look at that data as we go. We're going to continue to check in with Brian Fay of New England Home Mortgage on those interest rates because they are changing daily. And if people want to reach Tina this weekend, they can reach her at tina@oneteamct.com. If you want to talk to Greg out in the East Hartford area, you can reach him at greg@oneteamct.com. And if you would like to chat with me, I don't know why you would, but you can reach me, chaz@oneteamct.com, or you can head over to newenglandhomemortgage.com for all of your mortgage questions and needs. And Brian and his team will help you out. And folks, that is going to do it for us on this week's episode of Real Estate Radio. We will be back next Friday with a fresh episode of Real Estate Radio on 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk.
Broadcasting live from the Bruce DeLon Buick G.